Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Horius Daf Tes. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we concluded with a Tanaic source that explained that a Nosi, a king, and a Moshiach, a Kohen Gadol, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, are not shayach to bring korbonus for those offenses whose korban is a fluctuating priced chatos. Korban was known as an oyle v'yored. Those include Bitois Fosayim, Shvuos Oedus, and Tumas Mikdash V'Kodoshav. The Gemara opens up with our Gemara on Daf Tes, several lines from the top. The last word in the line is Ba. The Gemara asks, what is the din concerning a king that became a Metzora, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yossi Aglili? These are the Shitos that said that these kind of people are not Shayach, the king, etc., are not Shayach to Oyle V'Yored. What would happen if a king became a Metzora? And as a Metzora, he cannot function or serve as a king. This is based on Psukim that are found in the Tanakh, and Rashi quotes it. As a Metzora, is he considered a commoner, a non-king, and then he would be chayav in the oyle v'yored if he violates a shvuas bitui or shvuas edus or tumas mikdash v'kadoshav? Or do we say that he's not viewed as a commoner when he's in that state? The Gemara, Bomine Ravina Me Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Nosi Shenitzara Mahu. Will he be a Nosi that became a Mitzora? Will he be potter from the Olav Yoreh? Midche Dochi Oy Mifta Potir. These are two sides of the question. We'll glance at Rashi for the explanation, for the analysis. What we are going to do is look at Rashi. A few lines up from here, you'll notice the Dibur Masul Mahu, Mi Amrinan Potter Mi Korban Oyle V'Yored Kishu Nasi. Do we say that when he is a king, he is exempt from an Oyle V'Yored? The Achshav Kishinitzara, the Ovar Nisiuso L'Chayev, and now that he's become a Metzora, he leaves his office and he now becomes bound. Oydumo, Mai Dehave Have Kishu Nasi. Or do we say that that which was while he was a Nasi? Klomar, Hoyol v'nidche, once he is pushed out of the realm of Oyle V'Yored, Yidche, Kishinitzara, he's also considered out of the realm of Oyle V'Yored when he is a Metzora. So if you take the Mitche Dochi approach, even though right now he's a Metzora, he will still be exempt. Or if you take the Miftar Potir approach, when he is a Metzora, he will be Chayev. Omar Lei. So Rav Nachman answers Ravina, Diloch oy de Gaza. The funds that he is going to use to pay for the korban, is it from your funds or from his royal treasury? Of course it's from his royal treasury. And as such, he, even though he's a Metzora, he is not going to become poor. And as a result of that, as we saw in the source at the top, he is not in the realm of a fluctuating price korban, which is dependent upon income level. Sometimes someone's poor, sometimes someone is rich. Since he is still benefiting from his royal treasury, he's not in the realm of an oyle v'yored and will not have to bring such a korban. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a note at the side, a nose, Biur Shitas Rabbi Akiva, the Moshiach Potter Mikol Oilu Viore. We're going to investigate, find the sources for Rabbi Akiva's opinion that a Kohen Gadol is exempt from all Oilu Viore Korbonas. We have a Mivneh note, the structural note, that features the house shape, Rabbi Akiva. We have Rabbi Akiva appearing in this house shape. Havlotas Shmoi B'Moshiach and B'Nosi. We see him here, and we see his comment, or his statement, when it comes to a Nosi, a king, a little later. Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Moshiach Potter Mikulan. Rabbi Akiva says that a high priest, a Kohen Gadol, is exempt from all Oilu V'Yoreid. If we look at Rashi, he gives us the source for this. Let us look at that. Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Moshiach Potter Mikulam, Mikorban Oilu V'Yoreid, Deftiv. The Pasuk says, in the context of the Kohen Gadol, says, Zeh Korban Aaron Uvonav B'Yom Himoshach Oisoi Asirus Ho'efa. Dahainu Chavite Kohen Moshiach. This Pasuk that mentions the Asirus Ho'efa, this is a baked or a meal offering that is called Chavite Kohen Moshiach, or Chavite Kohen Gadol. The Chavitin Bo Loi Choiva, the Kohen Gadol is obligated to bring this Minchas Chavitin as a Choiva, as an obligation, the Ein Acheres Bo Olo. And no other meal offering is incumbent upon him. The Asirus Ho'efa Oilu V'Yoreid, the Asirus Ho'efa being that it's a meal offering, it's inexpensive, it's an example of something that we would call, as we said, inexpensive or cheap. Lo bo loy choiva. The Asirus Ho'efa of an Oilu V'Yoreid nature will not be obligatory upon him. Hilkach poter mikulam mi Oilu V'Yoreid. Once again, we say that only the Chavite Kohen Moshiach is obligatory, and we infer that's obligatory, and no other meal offering is obligatory. And we're in effect saying no other Oilu V'Yoreid is obligatory. V'amrino l'kamon, de mipar lo poter le Rabbi Akiva. Later on, we're going to say that, according to Rabbi Akiva, he's not exempt from bringing a par. The ikol the tutsi the time the Rabbi Akiva mishum the oilu v'yoreid who the imit. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that he's been excluded from the oilu v'yoreid type korban kidechtiv ze korban aron avol mipar lo imit, but from the obligation of bringing the cow that he is not exempt. So let's continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rava my time all the Rabbi Akiva. What is the basis of his opinion? Omar Kra, and now the Gemara quotes that which we already saw in Rashi. This is a posuk by the Minchas Chavitin, as we mentioned, it's a meal offering, and it says, Zeh Korban Aaron Uvanov. And the word Zeh is a miut. Zu Bo'o Choyva Loi, the Asir Sa'efa, which is the quantity of meal of flour that's part of this korban. This korban, this asir sa'efa, is obligatory upon him. The minchas chavitin, the ein acheres bo choyvolo. But all other oilu v'yoreids, including all other asir sa'efas, are not obligatory. The Gemara asks, v'emo ki mimit le rachmona midale dalus. Let us suggest that when is the Torah excluding the kohen? That's from the Dalei Dalus, from the extremely impoverished korban, from he who is a very of the lowest income level. He would bring, and another person would bring a Dalei Dalus. Umay nihu asir sa'efa. What is Dalei Dalus of the lowest income level type korban? That's the asir sa'efa. Avol anius v'ashirus lo mi'atei rachmona. But as far as ofos bird offerings, or sheep offerings, lo me'ate rachmona, that he is not excluded from. In other words, if a Kohen Gadol, according to the suggestion, if he would violate the mitzvos of Shmias Koil, Bitwis Fasayim, or Tumas Mikdash, which are the examples of Oilev Yorid Korbanos, he would bring possibly Oifos or a sheep offering. Loi Salka Daitoch. No, we're not going to suggest that either. Dichtiv, V'chiper Olav HaKoyen Al Chatosoi Asher Choto Me'achas Me'ele. This pasuk is in the context of Asiris HaEifa. And we darshan as follows. Hamiskaper be'achas. Notice we've dashed, underlined in the pasuk itself the word me'achas me'ele. So we say, hamiskaper be'achas, miskaper be'kulon. That means that one who can achieve atonement through each one of these types of korbanos, then is subject to receiving atonement through the other kinds. V'she'en miskaper be'achas. However, if you're talking about someone who's excluded from one of them, and we know that the Kohen Mashiach is definitely excluded from the Asir Sa'efa, then Ein Miskaber Bukulon, then he is not subject to bringing any of the others either. Namely, once he's excluded from the meal offering, he's excluded from the bird offering and from the animal offering as well. The Gemara now raises a question, and you'll notice the question lasts a few lines, as the long question indicator that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicates. You see an encircled kuf with a vertical dashed line. Elo me'ata. Well, based on the analysis we've shared with you till now, the dichtiv, v'hoyo ki yesham le'achas me'ele. Hochi nami. Are we going to darshan this posik as well? The chol hamischayev be'achas, mischayev be'kulon. V'she'ein mischayev be'achas, ein mischayev be'kulon. That someone who is subject to violating all of the averus mentioned in this context, any one of them is subject to be in violation of all of them. But someone who is not subject to violation of one of them is not subject to all of them. Alomatnan. So, why is it taught in the name of Rabbi Kiva? The following: Rabbi Kiva Omer Nosi Chayov Chutz Mishmias Koil. Rabbi Kiva himself says that a Nosi, as opposed to we were talking before about a Kohen Gadol, the Nosi, according to Rabbi Kiva, is Chayov in Bitui Sfasayim or in Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshev, and the only thing he's exempt from is Shmias Koil, which is the issue concerning denial of testimony. So we see that the king, even though you have a posuk that says ki yesham la'achas me'ele, and we know he's excluded from one of the things, namely Shmias Kol, we don't find him excluded from the others, namely from Tumas Mikdash nor from Bitui Sfasayim. Abaye v'rovo the Amri Chavayu Me'achas mashmale, le'achas lo mashmale. Abaye and Rava explain that there's a difference between the two words that we featured with our dashed underline. There were two psukim that we cited. The word me'achas has this implication of if you're excluded from one of them, you're excluded from all of them. But the word le'achas does not have that connotation. The Gemara asks, Umayishno me'achas de mashmale. Why does that posuk convey the idea that if you're excluded from the minchas, from the asiris ha'efer, from the meal offering, you are thereby excluded from the other offerings as well, the other oilev yoreds? Answer: the kasvei rachmono lebesof gabi asiris ha'efer. The Torah wrote this posuk at the end of the series of korbanos, namely after the cheapest korban, this posuk appears of me'achas me'ele, the meimra, which suggests the chol de mechayev basir so'efa mechayev bekulan. If you're connected to or shayach to the last one in the list, then we can say you're associated with all those that preceded it, the bird offering and the animal offering. And hence, if you're not shayach to the bottom one, it's almost as if you're slipping out the foundation from all of the rest. So if you're not shayach to the one on the bottom rung, all the rest fall away as well. Because if you were to think to the contrary, that one could be chayav in one of them, even though he's not chayav in all of them. Then it should have been written in the context of the birds or the animal offering. At this point, we would like to glance at the Rashi, and he's found that the upper part of the outside margin of commentary, second line from the top, Inami Bashirus, Dainu Kivsa Osira. But the Torah doesn't write this pasuk of Me'achas Me'ele over there. Elo Midikosa Be'rachmona Me'achas Gabi Asirus O'Efa. From the fact that the Torah chose to write this pasuk of Me'achas Me'ele by the cheapest korban, Lememra, this suggests the Ein Mischayev Basirus O'Efa, Ein Mischayev Bekulon Klal, that if one is not bound to the Asir Sa'efa, and as we said already, the Kohen Gadol is excluded from bringing an Asir Sa'efa, the meal offering, with regard to other korbanos, with other offenses. The only time he brings an Asir Sa'efa is by the Minchas Chavitin and not by anything else. So he's not chayev to in any of the other Olaviyoreit scenarios either. Hilkoch Potter Moshiach Mikulon Hoyol V'Ein Miskaper Basir Sa'efa. Dichtiv ze korban. That's what we saw earlier in this discussion. The ein acheres bo alochova. Only the minchas chavitin is obligatory, but no other meal offering. And as we said, no other meal offering, and hence no other fluctuating price korbanos as well. The Mishnah, kol hamitzvos shebetorah. Before we go further, we do see in this Mishnah a series of double underlines, one of our series indicators. Let's glance at the side, at the outside margin. We see a topic heading and a mivneh, a structural note. You'll see a double underline featured. Noisim shoinim, different topics. Uma dinam legabi, and what are the rules concerning, and here there are four areas. Yochid, a private person. Nosi, a king. Three is the Moshiach, the Kohen Gadol. And four, the Beis Din, in the context of its erroneous ruling. So let's see the Mishnah. Kol hamitzvah shebetorah shechayovim al zdoinon koreis v'ashigilos mchatos. All those mitzvahs that if one violates them willingly would be subject to the koreis penalty and unwittingly would bring a chatos. Hayochid may be kisva usira. A private person would bring a female sheep or female goat. Hanosi soyer. The king is in violation of those kinds of offenses. He would bring a male goat. Umoshiachu beizdin mevian par. The Moshiach, the Kohen Gadol, and the beizdin, they would bring a cow offering. Ubavodis kechovim hayochid vanosi vamoshiach mevian siira. When it comes to idolatry, the private person, the king, and the high priest bring a female goat offering. Ubeisdin par v'soyer, par le'oilo v'soyer lechatos. And the beisdin, in the event that they issue an erroneous ruling and the public goes ahead and violates in the realm of idolatry, the korban, it's a compound korban, a cow as an oilo korban and a soyer, a goat, as a chatos korban. Osham toloi, the korban brought in the event that one is in doubt whether he violated a suffik chatos, hayochid vanosi chayovin umoshiach ubeizin pturin. Osham vadai hayochid vanosi vamoshiach chayovin, a korban osham, a standard korban osham, so a private person, a nosi and a moshiach are subject to bringing those if they're in violation of those averos that warrant a korban osham, ubeizin pturin. These were examples that we've cited already several times. The Shmias Kol, one who denies knowledge of testimony under oath, and one who is violates oaths that he takes, and one who is encounters the Beis HaMikdash or Korbanos in a state of Tumah, based in Pturin, the basin, if they issue an erroneous psak concerning these areas, they will be exempt from a par helim. We mentioned in the Mishnah, this last section, three averus. Rav Shimon tells us that the individuals, namely the non-Beisdin examples, the Yochid, Nasi, and Mashiach, are chayev to bring korbanos in this area. However, the Kohen Gadol is exempted from the realm of Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav. Umahein Mevi'in Korban Oyle v'Yorei. What is brought for these? Well, it depends on income level. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Hanosi Mevi Soyer. As far as Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, this is explained in the Gemara. There's a Rashi that summarizes the different Shitas of Tanoim. Rashi's found in the lower part of the outside margin. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Nosi Mevi Soyer V'Sholosh Machlokas Badovar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Sovar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, this is an opinion we've seen earlier. We saw him in the Mishnah at the bottom of Chesam Beis. He holds a Nosi Moshiach Ptur Mikulan. These two individuals are exempt from all Eloviorates. Rabbi Kiva Sovar Nosi Chayav Bekulan Chutz Mishmias HaKoil. Rabbi Kiva holds that a king is chayav in all of these, with the exception of that offense associated with denying testimony. As we saw, a king cannot testify. Moshiach poter mikulan me'oil of yorin, and the Kohen Gadol is exempt from all of the fluctuating price korbanos. Rabbi Shimon Savar Nosi Moshiach chayavin bekulan be'oil of yorin. Rabbi Shimon holds that they are chayav in all of them. Elo shein Kohen Gadol Moshiach chayav al tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. With the exception of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, the one of the three, that the Kohen Gadol and Moshiach, according to Rabbi Shimon, are exempt. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Hoya Noisein Klal. Rabbi Shimon used to present a rule. Kol Shehayochid Ba'osham Tolui, Hanyosi Kayotse Bo. If a private person is chayev in an Oshem Toli, so a king would also have to bring an Oshem Toli. Moshiachu Beisdin Pturin. The Kohen Gadol and Beisdin are exempt. The Chol Shehu Be'Oshem Vadai, if someone is guilty of an Oshem Vadai, that's a korban brought for specific averus that are mentioned in the Torah, so Nasi Moshiach Kayotze Bohen, the Nasi and the king and the Kohen Gadol will have to bring an Osham Vadai, will based in Pturin. But the based in, if they issue an erroneous psak concerning an offense that would warrant an Osham Vadai, they would not end up bringing a par helam. Shmias HaKoyal Bitus Vasayim Utumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, based in Pturin, Nosi Moshiach Chayovin, Elo She'ein HaNosi Chayav B'Shmias HaKoyal, Velo Moshiach Betumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. The Oil of the Yoreds, according to Rabbi Shimon, are associated with a king, with the exception of the example of Shmias HaKoyal, and they're also Shayach to a Kohen Gadol, with the exception of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Kol Shu Be'Oil of the Yored Nosi Kayotze Bo Moshiach Ubeis Dim Pturin. The Gemara now focuses on this source and says that there's an internal contradiction. Hal gufa kashya. Amris, you say in this source, she'ein Moshiach chayav betumas mikdash v'kadoshav. We could infer, betumas mikdash v'kadoshav hu de potter. It's that type of oil v'yorei that he's exempt. Avo b'shmias ha'koil v'itus v'sayim chayav. But in the other two examples of oil v'yorei, the Shmias HaKoyal, which is a violation of oaths that one takes, and Bitus, let's correct ourselves. Shmias HaKoyal is a violation, one who denies knowing testimony under oath, and Bitus V'Sayim, one who violates oaths that he takes, Chayav, the Moshiach, the Kohen Gadol, would be obligated to bring a korban. Eimo Seifa. Then we read the final clause, Kol Shehu, Bo'il V'Yorid, Nosi Kayotze Bo, Moshiach who based in Pturin. Katoni Moshiach Ubeis in Pturin. In this final clause, it says that the Moshiach and Beis in Pturin. Ma basin pturin mikulhon, af Moshiach potur mikulhon. Just like a basin is exempt from all of them, the Moshiach will also be exempt from all of them. And notice what we've done with our markings. We dashed, underlined potur mikulhon, and we've written in kolel shmias kol ubitois fosayim. He is exempt from all of them. In our dashed, underlined two lines above, you see avol bishmias kol ubitois fosayim chayav. He is, according to the earlier clause, the Kohen Gadol is chayev in the violation of Shmias HaKol Bitu Tzayim Kashyan Ahadovi. So this source represents an internal contradiction, a stira within Rabbi Shimon. Omar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Lo Kashya. There is no contradiction. Kan Bedalus, Kan Bedale Dalus. If you're dealing with dalus, the dalus is the interim income level type korban. One who is of this interim level, he would bring a bird offering. That's the resha that said he would be chayav in for violating Shmias HaKol and Bitu Susayim. We're dealing, of course, with the Kohen Gadol. As far as Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshov, he's exempt entirely. As far as Shmias Koil Ubitus V'Sayim, if he's of the Dalus capacity, meaning he's of middle income, we'll say, he'll bring a bird offering. And if he's very poor, if it's Dale Dalus, then he will not bring the Asir Sa'efa. And that's what was meant in the Sa'efa, that he is Potter. He is Potter from bringing an Asir Sa'efa. Rabbi Shimon Sovalok Rabbi Kiva Bechado Upole Gole Bechado. And Rabbi Shimon, whose shita that we're analyzing right now, he agrees with Rabbi Kiva on one count and disagrees with him on another count. And the Gemara explains Sovalok Rabbi Kiva Bedale Dalas the Potter. He agrees with Rabbi Kiva with regard to the Asira Sa'efa, with regard to the meal offering, that the Moshiach is exempt. However, Upolig Ole Bedalas. Here as far as the middle income level, he disagrees with Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva exempts the Moshiach altogether from the realm of Olei V'Yored. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says that he would be Chayev. Elo she'en Kohen Gadol Chayev al Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Before we go further, we have a new geometric form and a topic heading that we want to look at. On the outside margin, we see a Nosei Mivneh heading. And we see the Bowtie form, Shitos Lahasbir Maitaimo de Rabbi Shimon. We're going to see different opinions. We'll see Chizkiah and later Rova that are here to explain Rabbi Shimon, that says the Moshiach Eino B'Tumas Mikdash V'Kodoshav, that the Kohen Gadol is excluded from the realm of bringing korbanos if he is in violation of Tumas Mikdash V'Kodoshav, entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah or eating korbanos in a state of Tumah. Omar Chizkiah, my time of the Rabbi Shimon, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says in the realm of Tumas Mikdash, V'Nichriso HaNefesh Ahi Mitoch HaKohol. Mi shekorbonoi shove lakohol, someone whose korban is similar to that of the public, yotzazeh, to the exclusion of the Kohen Gadol, she'ein korbono shove lakohol, his sacrifice is not parallel to the rest of the public. Now, what are we referring to here? In the case when Yom Kippur comes around, the atonement that the public receives for their violations, for their sins, they achieve it through the so'ir, through a goat offering. The Kohen Gadol doesn't experience kapora through the goat offering. He has his own korban, namely the par. So as a result of his not being shovel kohol, he is not considered in the realm of being obligated to bring a korban in the case of Tumas Mikdosh. Im kain Nosi Nami Ein Korbonoi Shovel Kohol. We know that a Nosi, a king, he has a unique korban. He has a soyer, a male goat offering that he brings, as opposed to the commoner who brings a female sheep or goat. So if that be the case, are we going to suggest that a Nosi is also exempt from Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav? So the Gemara answers, Shove B'Kaporo Diyom HaKippurim. It may be that as far as standard chatos, he's different, but not in the case of Yom Kippur. And in case of Yom Kippur, he is the same as the rest of the public. The Nosi achieves atonement through the same korban that the public achieves. So he's considered shovel akohol. Notice we have a triangle that we saw already surrounding Nosi, and we have another one coming up. These are explained on the outside margin with the triangle with the point facing up. We've noted kushios. These are questions that suggest yesh liftor mitumas mikdash. We just suggested that the king should be exempt from tumas mikdash, and we answered it. And another question along those lines. And later you'll see a flipped around triangle, which is a question that says yesh lechayev betumas mikdash. Let's continue in the Gemara. Im kein kohanim nami lo shovu lakohol bekapara diyom kippurim. We know that the kohanim are not atoned with the rest of the public on Yom Kippur. The kohanim achieve their atonement through the par, whereas the rest of the public through the goat offering. So we see that the kohanim are different, and therefore let them be exempt from a korban in the case of tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. The Gemara answers, kohanim shovu lakol b'shar mitzvus d'shana kula. Kohanim, though, are like the rest of the public with regard to other mitzvahs during the year. So far, we notice, whether it be the Nosi or the Kohanim, they have something in common. In the case of the Nosi, the Nosi has something in common with the public when it comes to Yom Kippur. And in the case of the Kohanim, they have something in common with the rest of the public with regard to the rest of the year. Hence, they are connected to the korban of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. The Gemara now asks, Moshiach Nami Ha Shove Bishar Mitzvahs Deshona. We're suggesting now that the Kohen Gadol is connected to the public with regard to other mitzvahs during the year. We'll explain that momentarily, but notice the triangle flipped over. The suggestion here is the Kohen Gadol should be Shayach to Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Up till now we've been working with the idea that he is not, that he's excluded from it. But once you bring in this consideration of being Shoveh, similar to the rest of the public, well, there is something in common between the Kohen Moshiach and the rest of the public, and this takes place in the event that the Kohen Gadol issues a legal ruling that parallels, or that is the same as, a legal ruling issued by the Sanhedrin. The halacha is that the Kohen Gadol achieves atonement through the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur that the Beis Din brings. So we see that he has a connection to the rest of the public under those circumstances. So if that be the case, then why do we say that the Kohen Moshiach is exempt from Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav? Elo Omar Rava, Emo Hochi. Mi shechatosoi shove liyachidim. Who is shayach to the realm of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav? He whose korban chatos is similar to yachidim, to the public. When it comes to a shigigas mais alone, in other words, where someone becomes guilty of a korban through simple wrongful act, without regard to a legal ruling, a psak din. So, mi shechatosu shevel yechidim, umay nihu kohol. Who is that? This is the general public. In other words, the general public, in the event that there is no helem dover, there is no court ruling, they bring korbanos based on shigigas maisa alone. This is to the exclusion of the Kohen Moshiach, the Kohen Gadol, who does not become guilty of bringing a korban through shigigas maisa alone. And that's why the Kohen Gadol stands alone. He's not shoveh. He's not shoveh with regard to the circumstances that precipitate the bringing of a korban. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Hanosi Mevi So'ir. Before we go further, let's glance at the topic heading associated with this piece of Gemara. On the side, we have a no-say. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. Ha di Omar, we're going to be featuring Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, or his observation. Ha di Omar, Rabbi Eliezer, Bamishna. he's going to be focusing on Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah that said, "De nosi mevi soir." This was found at the end of the Mishnah. It said there, Rabbi Eliezer, "Omer hanosi mevi soir." Davka hainu davka beinyan tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. This is true only with regard to tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. V'lo b'shmias kol ubitus v'sayim. But he's not going to bring a soyer in the event of violation of Shmias Koil or Bituis Fasayim. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Omar Rabbi Lezer, Ela Betumas Mikdash Vikodoshav. Rabbi Lezer, who said that a Nosi brings a soyer, he was saying this only in the context of Tumas Mikdash Vikodoshav. Hoyo Vinemar Kores Bo Ke Bikvua. Since the penalty for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav is as severe as all the rest of the Chatos violations, Kavua means the fixed price korbanos, which are brought for the majority of the violations that warrant the Chatos. So since Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav carries with it a Kores penalty like the rest of the Chatos in the Torah, the Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that a Nasi will bring a Sawyer for this violation, the violation of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Omar Rav Papa, Rav Papa now is going to make a point, and it lasts a number of lines. We've indicated this by a long point marking. The Nun that you see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text is a Nikuda, a point with a vertical dashed line. So Omar of Papa, Hochi Nami Mistabra, that Rabbi Eliezer is, his comment is going only on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. The E Sakadaitoch Rabbi Eliezer Al Kulon Komar, if one were to think that Rabbi Eliezer holds that a king will bring a sawyer on Shmias Koil and Bitus Fosayim, Michti, well, let's look into this. Sawyer Nosi Upar Moshiach, the Mokoim Yochid Lechatos Koi. The sawyer of a Nasi and the cow offering of a Kohen Gadol stand in lieu of a Korban Chatos that a private person would bring. In other words, they bring, as their Chatos, the Nasi brings a sawyer and the Kohen Gadol a par. Nisni Nami, then Rabbi Eliezer should have taught as well the following. If, once again, if it were so that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that the king, the Nasi brings a sawyer for all of these, for the all three, Shmias Koil, Bitus Susayim, and Tumas Mikdash. So in the case of the Kohen Gadol, it should have said as follows: Nisni Nami Moshiach Mevi Par B'Shmias Koil U'Bitus Susayim. But he doesn't say that. Elami Delo Kotoni Moshiach. From the fact that Rabbi Eliezer makes no mention of the Moshiach, Shma Mino Atumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav Koi. The Moshiach Potter. It must be that Rabbi Lezer's comment is limited to the realm of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, which is a realm that the Kohen Gadol is excluded from. Amale Rav Huna Brei de Rav Noson Le Rav Papa Mimai. Rav Huna challenges Rav Papa and says, Dilmo Rabbi Lezer Akulhon Koi. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer and his comment concerning the Nasi bringing a sawyer is going on all of those offenses. And you'll, if you'll ask, why does he not mention anything about a Moshiach? Uva Moshiach Sofer Lo K'Rabbi Akiva Demar Moshiach Poter B'Kulon. And the reason he makes no mention of Moshiach is that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Akiva, that feels that a Moshiach is exempt from all the Oyla V'Yoreitz. Omale, Rav Papa responds and says, Rabbi Akiva, mi potar le mi par? Does Rabbi Akiva in fact exempt the Kohen Moshiach from a par offering? Maybe he doesn't bring the lower cost korbanos, but he would bring a par. And yet, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't make any mention of the other offenses. So it must be that Rabbi Eliezer is going, when he is going only on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, that we said that the Kohen Gadol is exempt from. V'su lo midi, and there's no further point of discussion. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Moida Rabbi Eliezer, She'ein Mevi Osham Tolui. Rabbi Yochanan continues to comment on Rabbi Eliezer and says that even though this Thinosi brings a Sawyer on Tumas Mikdash Vekadoshav, since it has Kores associated with it, nevertheless, if he encounters a doubt concerning his having violated something to do with Tumas Mikdash Vekadoshav, he will not bring the Osham Tolui. Tani Tana Kamei de Rav Sheshes. There was someone who taught a Tanaic source in the presence of Rav Sheshes. Osham Tolui Bo Al Tumas Mikdash Vekadoshav. And Osham Tolui is to be brought for Tumas Mikdash Vekadoshav. That even though Tumas Mikdash Vekadoshav is Ba'ilu V'yored, since Tumas Mikdash Vekadoshav has Kores associated with it, it will warrant the bringing of an Osham Toli. Omar Le, Rav Sheshes says to the one who said this over, the Omar Loch, money. That source which you just recited is according to whom? Rabbi Eliezer he. The Omar, it would seem to be according to Rabbi Eliezer that says, Hoyo v'nemar bo kores kibikvua, maisi nosir soyer oleo. The Rabbi Eliezer who said that since Kores is associated with Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, that is reason for the Nasi to bring a Soyer. If the Nasi, of course, is in violation of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Ah, but the Omar Rabbi Yochanan Bode Rabbi Eliezer She'ein Mevi Osham Tolui. We have a source that Rav Sheshes points out is a source taught according to is that would have been according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer who emphasizes the fact that Kores is associated with Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, but that same Rabbi Eliezer holds that even though there is Kores associated with Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, there is no bringing of an Osham Tolui Kashya. Therefore, we leave this source as questionable in terms of there is no authorship for it. This source mentioned that an Osham Tolui is brought for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, and that does not seem reasonable, because even though Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav has Kores associated with it, Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Yochanan, said that there is no Osham Tolui to be brought. We now begin the third perek. Kohen Moshiach shechoto v'acharkach ovar mimishichusoi. A Kohen Gadol who committed a sin and then was removed from his post, he left office. V'chein nosi shechoto v'acharkach ovar migiduloso. And likewise, a king that sinned and then left office. What about the korbanos they bring? Kohen Moshiach mevi par. The Kohen Gadol will bring the korban that he would have brought had he still been a Kohen Gadol, and also he may be Sawyer, and the king emeritus will bring the korban, the Sawyer, which is the type of korban that he would have brought had he still been king. Moshiach shavar mimishichusoi ve'achar kachota. This is another scenario. This is the commission of the sin after he left office, as opposed to the opening of the Mishnah that mentioned his commission of sin while he was still in office. So, what happens now? Before we find out, we go to another second example. V'chein hanosi she'avar migedulaso v'achar kachota, a king that left office and then sinned. Kohen Moshiach mevi par. The Kohen Gadol will still bring a par, even though he committed the offense after he left office. The hanosi kehedyo. The king is treated differently. The king, when he leaves office, is treated as a commoner, and will not bring a sawyer, he'll bring a siro or kibsa. The Gemara now asks about the necessity of teaching all of the details of this Mishnah. We'll be focusing on the Kohen Gadol. Hashto yesh lomar ovar mimishichuso v'achar kachoto mevi par. If you tell me that he, after leaving office, he then sins. In other words, he's sinning as a non-Kohen Gadol, and nevertheless, he still brings a par. He brings a korban as if he were a Kohen Gadol. Do I need to be told the clause 1 aleph chata v'achar kach ovar me'mishikusa tzricha le'meimar, in a case where he sinned as a Kohen Gadol and then left office, it's even more obvious that he would bring a par. It's poshit, it's pshita that he brings a par. The Gemara answers, mishum dikotoni gabi nosi dechi ovar menesiusa v'achar kach chata kehedyot maisi, since in the clause 2 bays we saw that by a king that when he leaves office and then sins, he brings a korban as a commoner. Ahochi toni gabi moshiach chota v'acharkach ovar. Therefore, it teaches me a parallel scenario where it was chota and then left office. We should say it's a contrast scenario. Mevi par. Let's read that again from the second line from the top. Mishum dekotoni gabi nosi, since the Mishnah taught by a nosi, the chi ovar menesiuso, the acher kachota, kehedyot maisi, ahochi toni gabi moshiach, chota the acher kach ovar, mevi par. Even though, in that particular case, there really was no chiddush. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.